I would love to preach you a fire and brimstone message on Pentecost Sunday. That'd be really, really fun. I would enjoy that a little bit, I'm not going to lie. It would be very stereotypical though, right? You would have come expecting that if you knew today was Pentecost Sunday. And as I prayed about what does the message look like for this morning, and I considered the video and I reflected on the scripture, we're going to have a very different discussion this morning. Last year on Pentecost Sunday, we did Acts chapter 2 and we talked about that passage. But this morning, what I want to talk to you about is how you can experience a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit for your life today. Now, you're probably thinking that does sound like a very Pentecostal message. The thing is that this is going to be more of a teaching moment and less of a preaching moment, because frequently I hear as a pastor that, well, I just don't know. I don't get it. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit, that is just a little out there for me. I come to your Pentecostal church because I like your worship. I think your messages are compelling. And so, is it okay that I stay? Yes, it is. But I need you to understand that what we read about in the New Testament church, we still have access to in our lives today. And it's not that crazy, because all those people did in the chapter I read earlier were get in a room, have one mind waiting for Jesus, and Holy Spirit did what Holy Spirit does. That doesn't sound quite so crazy or out there, does it? And so we end up in this dynamic further removed from it, where people think, well, getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's a whole bunch of hoops. There's a whole bunch of prerequisites. Well, it's not for everybody. That is malarkey. I censored that. And that's not true. The Holy Spirit is accessible and here and longing to come in power and presence in each of your lives in this room, no matter how young or how old you are. And evidence of that can be seen in many different things. But if we choose to not press in and come expecting, then we can choose that we're not going to experience. I mean, Holy Spirit's polite, right? He's not going to bully you into loving him. That's true. But he longs for us to come with it to him with an eagerness and to experience his touch in a fresh way. And I've referenced this a couple times, that there are children among us, and we jokingly have mentioned them as like Holy Spirit hound dogs, that at a young age, even in our midst here, they discern Holy Spirit at work in our midst, and they are there in the throes of it. And it's beautiful. And if a three-year-old can discern the presence of the Lord and long to be in the middle of it, well, why can't we? It's a question I have to ask myself. And I didn't want to, just as I prayed about it, jump to Acts chapter 2 this morning, because you're going to think that's really typical. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to take a second and point out before we get into this that there are more chapters in Acts that talk about the power of the Holy Spirit and people experiencing that poured out in their life. In Acts chapter 8, Peter and John went to Samaria and they prayed for new believers to receive the Holy Spirit, because they had only been baptized. They had heard about Jesus. They'd entered the waters of baptism, but they'd never received the Holy Spirit and his power and presence in their life. So they went to them, laid hands on them, and all of a sudden the people were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They received it. Chapter 10 of Acts, a group of Gentiles, which was really outside of a lot of people's perspective, they listened to the message of Jesus and the Holy Spirit fell on them. How do we know what that looks like? Because they reference that it looked like Acts chapter 2 when the day of Pentecost happened. So there were tongues. Acts chapter 11, Peter shares the gospel message at the Spirit's prompting, and the Holy Spirit falls on them just like it did Peter and the others on the day of Pentecost. And Acts chapter 19, Paul is in Ephesus, and the disciples there hadn't heard of the Holy Spirit, just John's baptism. So Paul lays hands on them, prays for them, the Holy Spirit falls on them, and they speak in tongues. This isn't a one-time thing. It happens repeatedly, and we can expect that it will happen in our lives today also. But the question becomes, is there anything we can do to help cultivate the soil to make our hearts ready for that to happen today? The answer is yes, we can. And we can do this if we've never experienced the power of the Holy Spirit falling on us, if we've never spoken in tongues, and we can do it if it has happened before, but we need a fresh touch today. How many of you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but there are moments where you know you just need something new? You need something new for today, because if it doesn't happen, you don't have the strength for tomorrow. That's the power. That's what it's talking about. So this morning's going to be simple. It's going to be straightforward. And it's going to be something that really, from the young to old alike, we can work our way through. It didn't save with the clickers. You guys get the cheat sheet. You get my scriptures before I intended you to have them. The first step that we can walk through is repentance. So there's the initial repentance of your coming to salvation, okay? That is the step one kind of repentance. But we have to be able to acknowledge that even though we are immediately made right in God's eyes, we're human and we're fallen and we still slip up. There are things that we do that we daily need to repent of. And I think, and I've shared this before, that in North American culture, we have gotten far too away from the act of daily repentance. We just need to come before him and humble ourselves and acknowledge that he's holy and I'm not. And I tripped up, and in his grace and his goodness, he will forgive me as his child. It's already done. But I still have to acknowledge it, because otherwise I may continually, perpetually engage in the sin and justify it and rationalize it, and that is not good. So we need to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, and we will receive the Holy Spirit. Now, if you read through the passages in Acts, I want to be very clear. Some people received the Holy Spirit before they were baptized in water. Some people received the Holy Spirit after they were baptized in water. Baptism is like putting on a wedding ring. It's an outward symbol of an inward commitment to Christ. So I want to be really clear, because I know in many church circles this can get confusing. I do believe when you read scripture, if something happens and you die before you're baptized, it's okay. You can still go to heaven. But if you're living and you're doing life and you haven't been baptized and you've given your heart to Jesus, well, he commands us to be baptized. So if your heart is submitted, getting in the water and being baptized is a part of the process. So we need to be saved. We need to ask for the forgiveness of our sins, confess Jesus Christ. We want to be baptized, and we will receive the gift. Psalm 51 verse 17 says that God is looking for us to have, he's looking for us to have a heart that is broken with sorrow for our sin and fully repentant for having stepped out of line with God's blueprint for a holy life. It's not enough to go, yeah, I gossiped. Everyone does it. We need a contrite heart. That's what the King James and the NIV translates there. We need a heart that just goes, oh man, I messed up. I don't want to do that again. Have you ever hurt someone that you love deeply? Like, I'm talking, their affection and approval in your life means more than anything. When you slipped up, when you hurt them, how did you feel when you recognized that? Shout out a couple options. You felt sick. Yeah, you can have like a physical sick feeling. Anything else? Terrible. It can create anxiety in you when you realize that you've hurt someone like that, right? Or fear over how that's affected them. Sad? Yeah. Horrified. You feel like you did something that put a wedge in between you and that person when you really care. Now, God's not a person, he's a creator of the universe. If when we step out of his blueprint for our life, we are not feeling some negative emotions and some repentance and some apology and a need to go to him and make that right, then we've missed the mark somewhere. It's not about shame, it's not about guilt, it's not about beating yourself up, because that's not the answer either. But we have to acknowledge it, because if we don't acknowledge it with a right heart, we're never going to turn from it and do the thing that he has asked us to do. It's a part of the process. As a parent, oftentimes I will make my children look me dead straight in the eyes when we're dealing with the situation, right? Why? Because I want to know if they've got it. I want to read what's happening everywhere in here and see, are they just throwing me an I'm sorry so they can go back to whatever they want to do? Or have we had a moment here where we understand the game change and life is going to be different, and yes, they may slip up again, but they've had a different level of awareness to walk it out from there. God is looking for us to have a new level of awareness. And so we need to be repenting, not just of that initial moment when we come to faith and Holy Spirit indwells in us and seals us, but of what we are continually struggling to walk out. C.S. Lewis says that the great thing to remember is that though our feelings come and go, God's love for us does not. It's not wearied by our sins or indifference, and therefore it's quite relentless in its determination that we shall be cured of those sins at whatever the cost to us and whatever the cost to him. There is nothing he won't do to step into relationship with you. It's a relentless love. And we've sung that song a couple times. He is unrelenting in his desire to have relationship with us, and we get to lean in or we get to lean out, and that's our choice. And I want to encourage you today that if you are looking for a new revelation of him and his power and his presence, you need to lean in and lean into repentance. Nicole, if you can, the next step is surrender. Verses from 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 to 20, and they're up on the screen for you this morning because I've shared them with you out of the Amplified. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is within you, whom you have received as a gift from God, and that you are not your own property? You were bought with a price. You were actually purchased with the precious blood of Jesus and made his own. So then, honor and glorify God with your body. You need to get, if you want to have an encounter with Holy Spirit, that you're not your own. Your body is his temple. In the Old Testament, they had a physical temple. In the New Testament, Holy Spirit dwells within us. And so if you're not living in a way that recognizes that the living and active God of the universe is inside of you, you're not living surrendered. It will impact the choices you make. It will impact your posture before others. It will impact your posture before him when you realize that you have not just surrendered your eternal life to him, because sometimes I think we get that, right? We go, okay, I've said the prayer, if this is true and heaven is for real, now I'm in. That's the level of surrender we look for. But what he's looking for you to surrender your thoughts and your life and your choices and all of your living to him so that he can be Lord in every one of those areas. And he does that through the power of the Holy Spirit. Sean Bowles, who is a speaker, loves God desperately from the States. I really respect him. I was listening to a sermon of his a couple months ago, and he said, and I wrote it on a sticky note in my wall right where I would see it every day, if you have surrendered your life to Jesus, you've also surrendered the process to him. I have days where I know I've given him my life, but I really would like to maintain control of that process. Not because I'm controlling, but because it's just not working. The process is not working out to the desired end that I think a loving God would have for me. But the truth of the matter is that if I've given him my life, he gets control of the process, and the outcome will be far better than any process that I could walk myself towards. And if I want an encounter with Holy Spirit of power and life transformation and Acts 2 upper room kind of stuff, then I have to surrender to him everything, and so do you. We don't have an option. The next step in the process is that we need to believe. Now, that might seem really trite, but I don't know if we have enough belief. I don't know. I know some do. I know that we all believe on some level or we wouldn't be here. That's fair. But we need to believe that what he says in Scripture is true, that when he told the disciples that they would do even greater things than he would, we need to believe he wasn't lying. And if you think that maybe he was, well, that's a whole different discussion. Call me this week. We'll get together. Because he wasn't. He can't. It's against his nature. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is the assurance, the title, the deed, the confirmations of things hoped for or divinely guaranteed. It's the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as a fact what can't be experienced by physical senses." You often will see people demonstrate faith with the gravity example, and I would do it for you this morning, but ladies, no offense, there's not enough men here that I think it would be safe. And so the speaker will turn around, and they'll have people there, and they'll fall backwards into the arms of the people behind them and trust them that they're going to catch them, right? Because they have faith that gravity is going to send them to the ground, not that they're going to keep standing upright. We have to have that kind of faith in God that even when we don't tangibly have evidence of what's happening in front of us, we believe that he is who he says he is, and he's going to do what he's promised to do. And so when he says he wants to pour out tongues of fire and the Holy Spirit on us, we got to have faith that that's actually what he wants to do. We have to have some level of belief. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to walk with God and please him. For whoever comes near to God must necessarily believe in God, that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him." Faith is a continuous thing. It's not a one-time moment. We don't just put faith in him at the moment of our salvation and then that's the exercise of it the whole way through. It's building. It's like exercising. We develop it as a muscle and we lean into it and we trust that he's doing something strong, something new, something relevant, and that there's always more for us to learn in that sense. It's an element of relationship that's beyond understanding that requires faith. We need to have faith in what's not seen, faith in what's not experienced. And that can happen because of what we have experienced and we have known. I know God still heals because I have seen people he's healed. I know that he pours out his Holy Spirit and people speak in tongues because I have experienced it without a shadow of a doubt, not only in my life, but in others. I know that he raises people from the dead still because there are people that I trust and respect who have seen it happen in front of them. That's evidence for me. So I can step out in my belief and trust the things that I can't see because of the things that I've seen him show himself in, and so can you. When we have faith in these things, when we believe in them, we express it by seeking his power and his presence in our daily life. I did not expect our little guest this morning. I'm going to spell. Have you ever approached Christmas and children who believe in S-A-N-T-A? Okay, we all together? When they come downstairs Christmas morning, have you ever seen them walk like this? No! Why? Because unwaveringly, unquestionably, they know when they get to the bottom of that stairs, regardless of what life looks like, when they get down there, that tree is going to be surrounded with presents. It's going to be the best day of their life because S-A-N-T-A showed up while they were sleeping. How do they know? They believe. But the thing is that God is so much better than that because it's not your M-O-M and D-I-D. You follow what I'm saying? We put our faith in something absolutely true and we get miraculous gifts and power and access from the creator of the universe who literally has storehouses of blessings and healings and miracles and finances that he's longed to pouring out on his people if we would just step out in faith and access him for those things. So my question is, are you going to step? I can't make that choice for each of us in this place. You have to decide if you want to believe that Holy Spirit can and will touch you that way. The next step is that we need to seek God. And that might seem obvious if you consider the last slide, but we need to seek God for more than just God. If you were to read 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to read it together here, it says, "The Spirit gives," I'm sorry, it's small, I couldn't fit it all in. "The Spirit gives to one the gift of the word of wisdom. To another, the same Spirit gives the gift of the word of revelation and knowledge. And to another, the same Spirit gives the gift of faith. And to another, the same Spirit gives gifts of healing. To another, the power to work miracles." What it's talking about is like healings and all those kinds of stuff that we read about and delivering demons and all that kind of stuff. "To another, the gift of prophecy. To another, the gift to discern what the Spirit is speaking. To another, the gift of speaking in different kinds of tongues." And those two go together, okay? This isn't talking about your prayer language tongues. This is talking about tongues and interpretation here in a worship setting. "To another, the gift of the interpretation of tongues." Remember, it's the same Holy Spirit who distributes, activates, and operates these different gifts as he chooses for each believer. Now listen, you need to seek God to develop his gifts in your life. Think about it. It's like when I was a kid and we would take out the Sears catalog and we would literally rip out pages or circle things so that mom knew whatever it was we liked. And that always only happened in November and December because that's when our birthdays and Christmas were. This is like your Sears catalog wish list. Really, you can look at this list and you can go, I want to see people healed. I want to pray for people and see legs get longer. God, would you see fit through your Holy Spirit to use me to serve other people as you would have? Maybe that doesn't excite you, but maybe you would say, you know what? I have a whole bunch of friends, and they don't actually believe that God exists, but they have these dreams. And God, if you would see fit that, like in the Old Testament, people could interpret them, and in the New Testament, the same thing happened, and those dreams meant more. They were prophetic. God, would you give me the words to interpret their dream that no one else can help them with, so that they would know that you are real and living alive and you care about them and you are trying to communicate with them? You can ask him for that. You can ask him to have a word of tongues where you speak out in a service in that language that you don't know from another country, and someone on the other side of the room who's not even sitting beside you has asked God to help them interpret them, and you have a conversation back and forth, not understanding each other, and you don't know that someone in the back row is from another country that speaks that language, and you have interpreted it dead on, and they now know that God is real. And it happens all the time. Because people step out in faith and believe and ask. And you can ask God and you can seek him for his gifts to be active in your life. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. But when you seek him, you need to ask him. You need to ask and keep on asking and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking finds. And to him who keeps on knocking, it will be opened. It's Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 8. I think that one's from the Passion Translation. It's not a one-time deal. I remember when we first came to this church, Ethel was here. And Ethel lived in a nursing home in town, and we've talked about her a couple times. She was 95. And she had been a faithful attender of the church. And she would come up to the front every Sunday she could make it to church and get a ride. Someone would help her come up because she desperately wanted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit before she died. At 95, and having sought him for years on it, she kept on asking. She kept on pressing in. I want that kind of perseverance. I want that kind of endurance. I want that kind of long-suffering. And she saw God move in her life, and she experienced his power and his touch. But what if she had stopped? What if you stop? Maybe you think, well, life isn't going to be any different than it is now. But let me tell you, when you've experienced the power of God, you know that it will be very different than it is now if you stop asking. My hope and my prayer for us as a church is that we would continue to walk this out, whether we have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit and we speak in tongues or we haven't. Because my heart's cry and what I'm committing to praying for, and I hope that you will commit to praying with me for it too, is that every person in this place will experience the power of the Holy Spirit to fall in their lives with the evidence of speaking in tongues, so that we can be an empowered people and God's name will be made great to a people who desperately need to know him. I'm believing for that. I'm praying for that. I will ask God to give me enough belief for the people in this place who aren't sure if they can believe it. I'm believing God that his revival is going to happen here and his Spirit's going to pour out fresh, and that just like Mary and I have talked about so much, and others among us, that we will live to see revival in this house. I believe it because I know the God that I serve and I believe in, and I know his heart is for us. And I know that he hasn't let us be here for almost 25 years now for any other reason. He's not going to let us fail. He's not going to not have us experience him that way. And we're going to lean in, and we're going to press in, and we're going to believe, and we're going to actively seek him, because life is going to be so different when all of us encounter him that way. And it's not a feel-good fix-all for everything in your life, but it's the thing that when you have your eyes firmly fixed on him and waiting for him like they did in the upper room, they just were obeying. They were told to go and wait, so they went and waited. We need to wait. We need to believe. We need to seek. We need to surrender. We need to repent. We need to ask. Life will be so different. And so this morning, I'm actually going to ask, I've put together a little sheet for you, and Cheryl has it. I am going to ask Cheryl to give every person in this room one of these. Miss Quinn can even have one this morning if she'd like. We have enough, Cheryl, if she doesn't want to be left out. Hey, babe? Yeah. Do you know that the Holy Spirit doesn't care how old you are? It's pretty great. There are kids who encounter him in radical ways, and there are elderly people who encounter him in radical ways, and all of them are transformed. What you have in front of you is a paper for you to take home, because what I didn't want to do this morning was close and open the altars and have some people maybe nervous about coming to the front for prayer or uncomfortable with that or wishing that they had something to dig deeper into this week. So this is for you to take home and kind of press into this week. It's just the five headings that we've had this morning, some different scriptures for you to prayerfully read into and consider. And by no means is this exhaustive or anything else, but I really wanted to give you something practical this morning so that as you look to press in and as you look to experience God moving in your life, you have something that you can come back to on your own and do that with. And so please take these home. There are lots because I didn't know how many people we would have this morning. But with that said, I am going to close in prayer right now. Once I do, Nicole is going to hit play on a playlist of music. She's got that ready, right? And I am going to stay at the front, and I'm going to ask if the board members would join me. And we are going to pray with people who want to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as is evidenced with speaking in tongues. We are Pentecostal. It's who we are. And we are going back to basics, and that is where we are planting our feet for the next while. And so if you would like prayer, I need you to understand that it is scriptural to have other people lay hands on you and pray. In Hebrews chapter 6, it actually says that the laying on the hands is a basic principle of faith. It goes right alongside repentance and believing that Jesus was raised from the dead and eternal life. And so if we aren't praying for people and practicing laying hands on people and believing God and partnering with them, well, we've missed the mark somewhere. And so if you would like to experience Holy Spirit in that way this morning, we just want to pray with you and agree with you as you seek God in this way. And if you don't, that's okay. If you come back later and say, you know what, I didn't come up that Sunday pastor stuff, but would you guys do that now? I promise you, that is a question you will never get a no to. Never in this place. So I'm going to close in prayer. Nicole will turn on the music. If you would like prayer for the baptism of the Holy Spirit or a refreshing touch, you're welcome to join us at the front. If not, I pray that you have a blessed week and that you encounter God and that you really rest in his scripture throughout the course of the week and just experience him in a new way. Father God, we come before you today incredibly humbled. Humbled that you would see fit to have relationship with us. That in your holiness, you would stand beside us and you would wrap your arms around us and you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us and that you would dwell in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we acknowledge that you are Lord of all. You paid the ultimate sacrifice for us, and we are so eternally grateful for that. But God, I pray that today you would open our eyes afresh to your scriptures and to an understanding of what it means to live a life empowered by the Holy Spirit. I pray that you would open our eyes and our understanding of what it means to live empowered by the Holy Spirit and to have an encounter where you come on us and you clothe us in power from on high. God, I pray that you would mark a moment in our life as a church where we would have made a decision to press into being people of the Spirit corporately and personally. We love you so much, and we are so excited to see your gifts at work in our life. God, I pray that as people step out and they ask you for gifts and they come before you and they experience you working in all of those various ways that we read from Corinthians, God, that you would allow them to see that that's not in their might and in their power, but it's in yours. That God, we would be able to step out in miraculous giftings to give you all the glory and the honor and to turn people's eyes back to you. God, we desperately want to see a revival in this community and in this nation. We want to see people touched by you. We want to see people come to an understanding of the one true and living God. And so I pray for divine words in this place. I pray that when we find ourselves in conversations this week with people who don't believe in you, that you would give us words that would explain your truth and your life and your light for those people in a way that they can understand. I pray that you would help us to bear your hope to the people in our midst this week. But God, I pray for personal and corporate encounter with you. God, help us to just be radically transformed by you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.